You know that feeling, just being swamped by information. Everything feels a bit uncertain.
Yeah.
Especially when you're thinking about the big picture, like how do societies actually function well?
Absolutely. It's overwhelming. And these big concepts, democracy, transparency, they're not simple toggles, are they? They're complex, interconnected.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do we even start to get a handle on it?
Well, that's why we're doing this deep dive today. We found a really interesting piece of research.
Uh-huh.
It's a preprint, and it's called Navigating Information and Uncertainty, a fuzzy logic model to approach transparency, democracy, and social well-being. They even introduce a model, TDTSW.
Right, TDTSW. And what's fascinating is they're not just talking about these ideas. They're trying to, well, build a kind of formal map to see how they link up.
Yeah. So our mission here is to unpack this source for you. We want to explore the connections it draws between democracy, transparency, and social well-being.
And look at the tool they use, which is pretty neat. Yeah, this fuzzy logic thing. It sounds complicated, but it's designed precisely for these kinds of real-world ideas that aren't always clear-cut. So think of this as your shortcut to getting a clearer view of these crucial relationships.
Okay, so where does the source kick things off? How do they begin mapping this out?
Well, they start strong. They call democracy, transparency, and social well-being a triumvirate.
A triumvirate, okay.
Yeah, and the cornerstones of fair, equitable, and sustainable societies. You see this pop up in their figures, like figure one and figure five. It's foundational for them.
And it's not just that these three things are important individually, right? The source stresses how they're intertwined.
Exactly. That's the crucial bit. They say each one reinforces the others. They're woven together.
Okay, so can you break that down a bit? How does that actually work, according to the paper?
Well, think about democracy. For it to really work, people need transparency, right? You need to see what the government's up to so you can, you know, keep an eye on things.
Makes sense. Oversight.
And then transparency, that open flow of information, that's what lets citizens actually participate effectively, make informed choices.
Which then feeds back into strengthening democracy itself.
Right. It's like a loop. And they link these directly to social well-being, too.
Yeah. Democracy is supposed to lead to policies that help people, obviously contributing to well-being. But transparency plays a role there, too.
Definitely. Transparency allows for accountability. It makes sure that what institutions do actually lines up with a public good, hopefully leading to better societal outcomes.
And the source really doubles down on transparency, doesn't it? Calling it paramount.
Oh, yeah. Paramount for trust, for credibility.
Yeah.
They specifically mention crises like epidemics, how vital transparent communication is then.
That rings true. You can't build trust without openness. And transparency is, well, fundamental for accountability, too, if the information's out there.
People and institutions can be scrutinized, held responsible.
Exactly.
They also touch on how digital tools like social media can amplify this, create platforms for open dialogue, for feedback, that two-way street.
Okay, so they lay out these core concepts and their connections. Then they look for real-world examples.
Yes, exactly. They try to find examples of governance that seem to put these principles into practice effectively.
And they kick out Finland, Singapore, and New Zealand.
Right, calling them lighthouses in the global picture. You see that in figure two. They're quite different places, but the source finds common threads.
So what do they say about Finland?
Highlighted for, well, really low corruption, transparent government, strong rule of law, a professional civil service, and this sort of consensus-based policymaking. They link this to Finland's welfare state and high quality of life.
Interesting. And Singapore.
Described as this high-income powerhouse. They mentioned visionary leadership, a super-efficient meritocratic bureaucracy.
Didn't they mention high pay in the public sector?
Yeah, they did. As a deliberate strategy, apparently, to attract talent and minimize corruption. And lots of tech for efficiency.
Okay. And New Zealand.
Recognized for strong transparency standards. Again, low corruption, consistent social progress. They also mentioned proportional representation and an independent public service focused on inclusive growth.
So, despite being really different countries,
the common thread seems to be this commitment to transparent institutions, merit-based systems, rejecting corruption, and aiming for inclusive policies. Like, different recipes using those same core ingredients successfully.
But it's not all success stories, right?
Wow.
The source also digs into the challenges.
Absolutely. They're realistic. Even societies trying to live up to these ideals face big hurdles.
What kind of hurdles do they mention?
Well, one big one is the tension between capitalism, the drive for growth, profit, and, you know, ecological sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
The paper suggests that concentrated wealth and power can sometimes undermine collective efforts on environmental issues.
Mm-hmm. A classic tension. What else?
Another is the lack of women in political leadership. They argue this really dilutes democracy, limits the perspectives you get at the table.
Right. Representation matters.
And they also point out that maybe our traditional ways of recruiting leaders and doing governance just aren't quite up to scratch for the complexity of today's interconnected world.
So identifying these problems leads to some insights in the paper.
Yes. It pushes them to suggest things like reimagining education, seeing it not just as schooling, but as a tool for democracy, creating informed, engaged, critical citizens.
That's a powerful idea.
And they stress investing in social organizations, especially those pushing for women's rights and representation. It's not just about fairness. It's about making democracy work better.
Which points towards needing actual structural changes.
Exactly. Transformations in the public sphere to really prioritize inclusivity, transparency, accountability.
And they frame this quite strongly, ethically speaking.
Very much so. They talk about ethical imperatives. Democracy must be inclusive, pluralistic, respectful. There's a moral duty, they argue, to tackle these challenges like the profit versus planet one, to actively nurture democratic values and demand ethical behavior and accountability, even for corporations.
Okay, so they've built this picture. Concepts, examples, challenges, ethics. How do they then try to make it more formal, more structured?
Right. That's chapter two. They shift gears and build what they call an inferential framework.
So
trying to map out the logical steps, the connections, using principles and assumptions, almost like a mathematical proof, but with concepts.
Using symbols and notation.
Yeah. So simple stuff like D for democracy, T for transparency, SW for social well-being, plus others like I for information, A for accountability, trust, EG for effective governance.
Okay. And they lay down some foundational statements, postulates, or assumptions.
Exactly. Let's touch on a few just to get the idea without getting lost in the weeds.
Sure.
So one key one, postulate one or assumption one, is about democracy being essential. Basically says D is necessary for T and SW to really flourish.
So the foundation, without democracy, it's hard for the others to be strong and stable.
Pretty much. Then there's a simpler one, postulate two. Transparency implies information flow.
Mm-hmm.
T leads to I. Seems obvious, but it's a building block.
And following from that, postulate three. Information leads to accountability. I leads to A. If you have the info, you can demand accountability.
Makes sense. They also have ideas like democracy and accountability together reinforce democracy itself, like a feedback loop strengthening it. That's postulate five.
Okay.
And interestingly, postulate nine suggests that democracy and transparency together lead to a cumulative boost in social well-being. It's synergistic, not just adding one plus one.
So D and T leads to SW going up significantly.
Right. And another, like postulate 11, links transparency and trust to effective governance. T in trust leads to EG.
Got it. So the point isn't really about memorizing postulate nine, but seeing how they're trying to logically chain these concepts together, how one influences the next within their specific framework.
Precisely. They're building a structured argument about these relationships.
And this formal structure then allows them to bring in the fuzzy logic to handle the inherent, well, fuzziness.
Yes. That's chapter three. This is where they tackle the fact that concepts like democracy or social well-being aren't just yes, no. They're not binary.
Right. Like we said, not an on-off switch. A country isn't just democratic or not democratic. There are degrees.
Exactly. Standard logic struggles with that.
Mm-hmm.
Fuzzy logic, though, is built for it. It allows things to be true to a degree, like temperature that's not just hot or cold. It can be kind of warm, really hot.
It deals in shades of gray. So how do they apply this to D, T, and SW in their model, this TDTSW?
Okay, so first they define fuzzy sets. Instead of just democratic or not, they use labels like low, medium, and high for D, T, and SW qualitative categories.
Okay, low, medium, high ranges. But how do you pin down where something fits?
That's the next step, membership functions. Think of these as mathematical sliders. For any given input, like a country's score on some index, the function gives you a degree of membership, a number between 0 and 1 for each label.
So a country could be, say, 0.8 high democracy and maybe 0.2 medium democracy and 0 low.
Exactly. It can partially belong to multiple categories at once. It captures that spectrum, that fuzziness.
Okay, so you have the degrees of D and T. How do they connect that to SW?
Through the fuzzy rules. These are the core logic. They're if-then statements linking the fuzzy sets, like if D is low, and T is low, then SW is low.
Or the opposite. If D is high and T is high, then SW is high.
Right. They're essentially mapping out the expected relationships for different combinations of D and T levels using these fuzzy categories.
And the source provides the specific rules they used.
Yeah, they list them out. Rule one is that low D and low T leads to low SW. Seems intuitive.
Makes sense.
Rule nine is high D and high T leads to high SW. Again, logical.
But some rules are more nuanced, right?
Yes, and this is where it gets interesting. They have, for example, rule three. If D is low, BUTT is high, then SW is high.
Wait, low democracy but high transparency leads to high social well-being. According to this specific rule in their model, yes. It suggests that, within their framework, very high transparency might potentially compensate for lower levels of formal democracy in terms of well-being outcomes. It makes you think about the interactions.
That is interesting. Shows the complexity. So these rules are the engine? How does the model actually use them to give an output for social well-being?
Okay, that's chapter four, the fuzzy inference process. This is the how-to. You feed the model input values for D and T, maybe hypothetical scores or real data if you had it.
Okay, give it the inputs. Then what happens inside the box?
First, the model uses those membership functions to figure out the degree to which your inputs belong to low, medium, and high for both D and T.
So it quantifies how low, medium, or high they are on that 0 to 1 scale.
Precisely. Then it looks at each fuzzy rule, like if D is low and DT is low, then SW is low. It evaluates how strongly that rule fires or applies based on the membership degrees of your input.
And that tells you how much truth there is in the output part of that rule, the then SW is low part.
Exactly. It determines the resulting membership degree for the SW label in that specific rule. Then, crucially, it combines the results from all the relevant rules.
To get an overall picture.
Yes. To get an overall degree of membership for low SW, medium SW, and high SW for that particular input scenario.
And the source shows this visually, right? With colors in figures 12 and 13.
Yeah, they use visuals. Often colors, maybe red means a high degree of membership in low SW, orange for medium, green for high. These maps give you a visual sense of how the model predicts SW outcomes across the whole range of possible D and T inputs.
And what's the general pattern that emerges from those results?
Well, it generally confirms what you'd expect. Higher levels of democracy and transparency tend to correlate with higher degrees of membership in high social well-being.
Right.
But the fuzzy logic provides a structured, quantifiable way to see that relationship across all the combinations, not just the obvious extremes. It handles the in-between cases.
Okay, so doing all this modeling, building this TDTSW framework with fuzzy logic, what's the point? What can we actually do with it? What's the utility, as the source puts it in figure 14?
Well, there's definite practical utility for policymakers. Imagine having a tool like this. It could help design more effective policies by giving a structured way to think about how tweaking transparency or democratic processes might ripple through to affect social well-being.
So anticipating impacts better. And maybe evaluating policies you already have.
Yes, exactly. And maybe pinpointing regions or specific issues that need more focus. It could even guide strategic planning for NGOs or other organizations working on societal improvement.
Okay, that's the practical side. What about theoretical utility?
It helps validate using these kinds of fuzzy models for complex social science questions. It provides a foundation for more research in political science, economics of well-being, fuzzy systems themselves. It helps refine how we even theorize about public policy.
And does it change how we understand the core concepts themselves?
That's what they call conceptual utility. Just the act of building the model forces you to clarify what you mean by democracy or transparency or social well-being. It could inspire better ways to measure these things.
Mm-hmm.
And simply by laying out the framework, it can raise public awareness about how vital these connections are for everyone's welfare.
So it sounds like their analysis using this model really backs up the idea that focusing on democracy and transparency is a good bet for improving overall societal well-being.
It certainly provides a structured argument for it. It offers one way, a formalized way, to understand why these elements are so fundamental and interconnected.
Okay, let's try and wrap this deep dive up. We started with that core idea from the source.
Mm.
Democracy, transparency, social well-being, the essential cornerstones.
We looked at their real-world lighthouses, Finland, Singapore, New Zealand, seeing how different paths can still embody commitments to transparency and good governance.
We face the tough challenges societies grapple with, economics versus environment, representation, complexity, and the ethical demands the source argues these challenges place on us.
Then we saw how they tried to formalize the links with that inferential axiomatic framework.
And finally, we explored their use of fuzzy logic, building the TDTSW model to handle the inherent imprecision, using those fuzzy sets, membership functions, and rules to model potential social well-being outcomes in a nuanced way.
Yeah, and the big takeaway feels pretty clear. The source presents democracy and transparency not just as nice ideas, but as actionable fundamental principles for a just and stable society. They really stress the ethical side of it and offer this unique framework to analyze how it all fits together, even with all the uncertainty.
So this deep dive hopefully shows you how these huge, sometimes vague concepts are deeply linked, and how even uncertainty isn't necessarily a barrier to structured thinking and modeling. It really underscores how critical transparency and accountability are for a society's health and its people's welfare. The source finishes with this really strong call to action, talking about needing unwavering dedication, adaptability, and a collective effort involving governments, civil society, the private sector, and every individual to champion these principles. They call it our moral compass.
That's powerful. And it leaves you thinking, given that call for everyone to be involved and understanding these complex links between democracy, transparency, and well-being, what does that mean for your role? How can you and your own community or work help foster transparency and accountability? How can we all contribute, maybe in small ways, maybe bigger ones, to building that more trustful, accountable society?